Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. Hello, hello, Hill Squad. Welcome back. We got another great day here for you. We got Lewis House in studio. We're talking all about his new book, The Greatness Mindset, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. We're going to learn how to live our best lives today with Lewis. But first, our quote of the day, your job is to create a vision that makes you want to jump out of bed in the morning. If it doesn't, go back to bed until you have a bigger dream. And that is from Lewis House, our guest today. Hill Squad, glad to be back with you. Hope you guys are doing great out there in this crazy, beautiful world. If you're new to the show, this is what we do here every single day. We bring in people like Lewis who are going to help us get better in all areas of life. We have a very strong focus on health and wellness, and we'd love to acquire new tools to take in, put in our tool belt and take into this life with us and get better. So welcome. You're officially a part of the Heal Squad. And if you want some merch, you can go to mariamenounos.com or heelsquad.com and get yourself a Heel Squad mug or a t-shirt and remind yourself that you are a part of the squad and on this journey. Also, friends, macy's.com/heelsquad is my curated list of items from Macy's, our big sponsor here on the show. Can't keep the lights on without them, so we're super grateful for them. So anything that you are looking for, obviously I've curated a very well-rounded page there, so you can find some fashion, you can find kitchen stuff, you can find home stuff, anything you need will be on there. Let's get right into this with Lewis. So Lewis House is a New York Times best-selling author. He's a keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and host of the top podcast, The School of Greatness. So he knows all about greatness. House was recognized by the White House and President Obama as one of the top 100 entrepreneurs in the country under 30. Details magazines called him one of five internet gurus that can make you rich. Today, we're talking about his new book, like I said, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. So he's not only going to make you rich, but he's going to help you heal. And we're going to talk all about that right now. I'm so excited about this book because I'm going to take all the assessments when I'm on a flight.
Perfect.
To travel next week. I think it's cool. We were chatting a little bit about this before that, you know, people come to you to be successful. They want that coaching. And this is kind of a secret healing book.
Yes.
Well, I think did you do that intentionally or did it just happen?
I did intentionally because for the last 10 years, I've been kind of on a healing journey of different stages. 10 years ago, I started my own show and I started interviewing, you know, great sports people, athletes, business leaders, things like that. People who were successful because I thought that's what I wanted more of. I wanted more success. I wanted to be at the top. I wanted to win. I wanted to dominate whatever it was in my industry or my sport. And I realized, okay, I was doing that at a pretty good level. I was successful from sports. I was making money in my business, all these different things. But why was I suffering internally? Why was I not able to sleep at night? Why was I stressed out? Why was I really reactive? When someone would poke on the emotional wound in me that I'm not enough or I'm being abandoned or I'm being abused, why would I get so explosive or reactive or defend myself so quickly? Why was I unable to master my emotions? And when I started to open up about being sexually abused by a man that I didn't know when I was five. It was one of my first memories is being sexually abused. And then I started to open up and heal about that and talk about this. I've talked about it for almost 10 years now. That unlocked a new level of peace inside of me. But I still had more trauma or memories that cause a lot of pain and wounds that I hadn't mended yet.
Yeah, like your dad.
So many different things. Yeah. My brother was in prison for 4 years when I was eight. So I didn't have friends for about 4.5 years because growing up in a small town in Ohio, we didn't hear about this. And so when it's like, okay, your brother went to prison, my kids can't hang out with you.
Yeah. Right? You're bad, obviously.
Yeah. You're bad. Like he's influenced you, whatever it is. And so I just, you know, my parents gotten a lot of arguments and fights. So I just didn't feel like there was a healthy, loving relationship model for me to witness. They did the best they could. They both, well, I felt their love, but I knew they didn't love each other. So it was like a challenge of understanding relationships as an adult. And so I just had to learn how to heal, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the teachers. I didn't have the courage to start talking about these things. Because I thought if anyone knew these things about me, no one would love me. No one would like me. No one would be my friend if they knew how ashamed I was about my past, about what I had done, about what other people had done to me, how I felt about myself, all these things. And so—
And this was just 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago, yeah.
And 10 years ago, where were you in the Lewis House, you know, external career?
I mean, I had a multi-million dollar business that I created, like an online marketing company. I had a, you know, I was a professional athlete. I was a two-sport All-American at that time. I was also playing with the USA national team for an Olympic sport called team handball. So I was still like being elite. How can I be elite? How can I be at the top? How can I win? How can I grow? And I was accomplishing these things. Like the things I was doing was getting me to get those results, but I wasn't able to sleep at night. I would just sit there for an hour or two ruminating, stressing, worrying. My relationships were up and down, both personal, intimate, family, friends, right? It was like kind of all up and down. And so I went through a period of time where I finally got into a fight, a physical fight playing basketball 10 years ago. And this kind of unlocked the world of healing for me and having the courage to open up. And it was just a normal pickup game, just playing basketball in the mean streets of Beverly Hills. And we were playing pickup basketball. It's just a fun game, but some guy started saying stuff to me that just hit my wound. And
do you remember what he said?
I can't remember, but it just felt like anytime anyone said anything that hit the wound, it was like, okay, someone's abusing me and taking advantage of me. And there was like, I needed to defend myself. If someone cut me off on the road, oh, they're attacking me. It's just what it felt like, even though it's not what was happening. So my interpretation was off. And I would take things very personally, you know, when people would say things or do things that I didn't like. And so I got in a fight on the basketball court. And I remember afterwards going up to my place, my apartment, looking in the mirror and kind of like just shake. I was like shaking. I hadn't gotten a fight since I was like a teenager, right? So 30-year-old guy, I'm like, what am I doing? I look in the mirror and I can't recognize myself. I'm just like, who are you? I kept saying this over and over in the mirror. It's like, who are you, Lewis? Who are you? I didn't know who I was anymore.
Wow.
And it kind of scared me. Now, luckily the guy was okay and everything and it was fine, but it scared me of what I was capable of doing with such little, it was just like, there was nothing I should have reacted to, but I overreacted. And my friend was with me at the time, my best friend. And he said, I don't want to hang out with you anymore if you're going to be like this. Because it became in like a pattern where I was reactive and then I kind of snapped and got into a fight. He's like, I don't want to hang out with you anymore if you're going to be like this. And that's when I said, oh, if my best friend doesn't like my behavior, then I got to change my behavior. It's not about everyone else in the world. It's about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm the common denominator. So I started to go to as many workshops and reach out to therapists and actually start talking about things that were causing me to, because I didn't know the root. I didn't even think about the sexual abuse. I didn't think about my parents. I didn't think about the prison stuff from my brother. But I started to talk about these things and it allowed me to.
Were you someone that compartmentalized?
I just didn't. I tried to block it. You know, almost.
It didn't exist.
Yeah. Almost every week for 25 years, the memory of being sexually abused in a bathroom by a man would be like a quick movie in my mind. but I would just like, okay, let me go work out. Let me go block it. Let me go, whatever. Let me go make money. Let me go focus somewhere else. And I think it's really hard to run away from our shame and our pain. We can only run for so long and so far. It's just always going to keep catching up to us at some point. And so I was running away from something that I was ashamed of, and I was chasing something that I thought would give me peace. And it never gave me peace. Like winning, accomplishing, making money, it didn't give me peace and healing.
Yeah, good distractions.
Yeah, it made me, you know, not broke and poor, but it didn't give me a sense of like fulfillment and peace inside. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn how to heal. And the journey started 10 years ago. And that was, it's been like different stages of healing emotionally and psychologically. And it wasn't until like the last 2 years when, probably 2.5 years when it unlocked a whole nother level for me. I used to have a ball of pain in my chest. I don't know if you've ever had this. Like
my husband has. He used to sleep with a hot water bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of felt like a ball in my chest with like pain and it kind of come and go. And I'd have like a clenching in my throat. It felt like someone was strangling me. And I never understood why this was happening. This typically happened when I was in intimate relationships. And when I was single, I felt peace. But when I got into relationship, I didn't know how to not abandon myself, because I would give in to please others of what they wanted, what they needed.
Well, because you wanted that love.
I wanted the love. Yeah, I wanted to be accepted.
If you didn't do that, you might not get the love.
Exactly. Or they'd scream at me, or they'd give me the cold shoulder, or they'd not talk to me or whatever. And I didn't know how to handle those emotions. So a couple of years ago, I went through a journey of really reflecting back to my earliest memories and all the different seasons and stages of my life where I felt the most ashamed, insecure, guilty for things, whatever it might be. And I really started to do like deeper spiritual ceremonies with my 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 11-year-old, 15-year-old self until I felt harmony and congruency and peace, and created new meaning from those memories. And there was a moment after about 6 months of doing this where this ball of pain like disintegrated. I don't know how to explain it. It just kind of exploded and disintegrated throughout my whole body. And I haven't felt that pain in 2 years.
Wow.
And I think I am psychologically and emotionally connected the past and reparented that part of myself that felt lost, insecure, ashamed, and all these different things. And it's been a beautiful experience ever since then.
Wow. So what did you do? What were the therapies that you went to? Because I've done EMDR. I've found success with that, but not always, right? And some things it works, some things I haven't. I've done somatic therapy. I thought that was really helpful. Mm-hmm. I've done talk therapy. I've done a lot of different things.
Meditation, all these things.
Dr. Joe is really what's amazing. Been the thing, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. But what worked for you?
I think it's a combination of everything. You know, it wasn't like, I think it's because I had a foundation from 10 years ago of starting to heal and open up about sexual abuse. I did a number of emotional intelligence workshops that allowed me to actually open up.
What's an emotional intelligence workshop?
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days. And I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor. And it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios. And then I got addicted. And now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Imagine 40 years of life in 5 days.
Okay.
And doing multiple scenarios, exercises, dyads, small group scenarios, visualizations, meditations, screaming, releasing, you know, exercises, recalling all the different memories of your past that cause you a blockage or to feel stuck, all happening like 10 years of therapy in 5 days. And it blew me away.
Wow.
It blew me away.
So
I did this here in LA like 10 years ago. And there's different workshops all around the world and different centers that do these types of workshops. But this was the gateway for me starting to say, oh, okay, I didn't know what it meant to be vulnerable. I was false confidence, false ego, acted like I knew it at all, and I had to win and be competitive all the time. That was kind of my default. That's where I felt like I got my value and protection as a man. And I didn't understand the idea of vulnerability. That wasn't something I could do growing up. I couldn't show emotion or cry or say, hey, I feel kind of off. Otherwise, I'd be called some name. So you just had to be, you know, tough or act like you had it all put together.
Well, because you were getting so bullied.
Yeah.
How could you ever have a moment of vulnerability?
Yeah. And I didn't have any friends growing up. So it was just kind of like, okay, whatever I can do to fit in. And so 10 years ago, I started being vulnerable for the first time. And I realized how powerful it actually was. And how healing being vulnerable and being able to express and talk about these things. It took me about a year and a half talking about sexual abuse. Just because back then I never saw a man that looked like me talk about being sexually abused. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't on TV 10 years ago, like your favorite athlete being like, this happened to me when I was a kid and here's how I've processed it. I just didn't see it. I didn't see it growing up. I didn't see it, you know, when I was in my 20s. Maybe it was out there, but I just didn't see it ever. And I think now we're seeing more and more people talk about these things, which is great. So I think it allows for other people to say, oh, you're not wrong and bad. My whole life, I just thought I was wrong and bad. And I was trying to cover that up. And so this workshop allowed me to talk about it and release it in certain ways and kind of go back and experience things and forgive myself and all this different stuff. So kind of open the gateway for me to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Now I still have lots of things to work on and still get to continue to grow. But that was the gateway that opened up for me. I've been to, you know, you've done every workshop and healing method there is as well. I went to India 5 years after that and studied meditation for a few weeks in India. I've done Wim Hof training, which is more like the physical athlete, ice training, meditation.
Releasing. Do you still do the breath?
I still do the breath. Yeah. I was in the ice tub this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Mine's getting set up.
Get it. It's amazing. It's so healing. And I like that as an athlete. It's like, okay, let me do something physical.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe the body does keep the score, like the book says. And all these emotions were stored in my body. And there was essentially a psychological wound that I had yet to mend that just kept open, where that anytime someone poked it or said something that I didn't like, it was like, it hurt. It hurt me emotionally, spiritually, and physically. My body was in pain when I felt taken advantage of or abused. And that was just an interpretation. People weren't necessarily doing that. I just felt they were. So it was all about me learning to heal those psychological and emotional and spiritual wounds and physical wounds that were where I was being abused. But I'd never addressed it. I just tried to run away from it and try to mask it. And so that opened the gateway for me to explore more therapies, talk therapy, meditation, and learn from all these healers over the last 10 years to continue to heal myself. But 2 years ago is when I was getting out of a different relationship, and I met a therapist, and I was just like, I don't know why I keep repeating these patterns in relationships. You know, I'd been in, I don't know, four or five relationships over the last 15 years, and they all ended the same way, similar ways. And why was I attracting a certain type of person? Mm-hmm. Not that they're bad and wrong, that just, it wasn't aligned with me. And so what was it about me, not about these other people I was with, but about me that was causing me to repeat this pattern? And I just said, I'm sick and tired of repeating this. I'm either going to be single the rest of my life, or I'm going to heal this thing and figure it out. And I said, I will do whatever you tell me. I will show up every week. I'll do whatever you tell me. I'll go all in emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. I'm just sick and tired of this.
Who did you say this to?
My therapist and coach.
Talk therapist?
Yeah. And she's been doing this work for about 30 years. And so I just said, okay, whatever you tell me, I'll do it. And I did it. I mean, I was doing 6, 7, 8 hour sessions on Saturdays with her. I was just like, you want me to recall my inner child? You want me to have a photo of my 5-year-old on my phone and have conversations with him? You want me to do this, call people, write letters, whatever, burn things. I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Yeah.
And
well, you're an athlete, so
I know you give me something, I'm like, I'll do it.
You're coachable. So exactly. I had a friend of mine, he was an audio technician at Extra. His name is Defari. He's like, you know what I love about you? He's like, you're so coachable.
Right.
I'm like, I'll do whatever it takes to get better. Mm-hmm. And so I fully identify with that.
And at that time I was 38, and I just was sick and tired of having pain in my chest. And I go, okay, I feel like I've figured other stuff out. I can be healthy physically. I've got money, you know, I've got whatever, an audience. I've got the things I'm doing that I love. But why do I have this suffering inside? There's got to be solutions. And meditation would help, but it didn't, like, it would help when I would do it. And it would help for a little bit afterwards. But then I'd always go fall back into this pattern of feeling the suffering. And so it was helpful, but it wasn't getting me to the root of healing. And it wasn't until I just did this intense psychological work that I finally was able to heal. I did a beautiful ceremony that helped me, where I was in a meditative state alone. And I imagined my 5-year-old self right after he'd been sexually abused. Now, I'd done a lot of the sexual abuse healing already, but I just imagined how confused he was, how sad he was, how uncertain he was, how ashamed he was, how just clueless about why am I even here in this world when this just happened to me. All these thoughts as a 5-year-old undeveloped brain. And I had a spiritual conversation with the little Lewis inside of me in front of me. And I sat there and just spoke to myself and said, how does this make you feel? What's going on? How's your body feel? Do you feel loved? What do you need right now? And I just listened to him.
Could you audibly hear him talk back?
Yeah. And I was like, it's in this kind of like this spiritual meditative state. And I just created this scenario. And I just said, what do you need? And I recalled the little boy inside of me. And I just said, this is what I'm feeling. And I never got to say those things to anyone because I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell friends, none of that stuff. So I just hid it and ran from it. And so I got to, as an adult in the room, speak to my younger versions of self and create. And then I hugged him, you know, spiritually. I brought him into my chest and into my heart. And I just felt love, and I connected him to where I'm at today. And I just tried to close the circle of the pain and close the wound up and start mending it and start mending it spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. And that process, now it didn't happen overnight. It took 6 to 9 months of me actually doing this consistently, weekly, coaching, trying different things, overcoming myself, having courage, saying what I needed to say, and really stop abandoning myself in situations. Cause I would get triggered when others would abuse me, but really I was abandoning self. And so the more I abandoned self, yeah. I kept the wound open. And so I had to learn to stop.
Because you don't have boundaries.
They create boundaries with anyone. I said yes to everyone. I said, whatever you need, how can I help you? I'll help you all day long. And then, you know, when they would do something that was hurtful, I was like, man, that sucks. And I would still try to help them more. It was just, I'm here to give and let me do whatever you need. And so I've really had to learn how to stop people pleasing, you know, everyone, specifically in intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. I was better in business relationships, but intimacy was really challenging for me. And I had to learn to just say, no, it's not worth being in relationship with anyone if I'm abandoning myself. If they don't accept me for who I am, then we shouldn't be in a relationship. If I have to keep changing who I am for them to like me or love me or accept me, it's not an aligned, harmonic relationship, you know? So that's been a journey for me these last 2 years.
Wow.
And really saying 100% what I think and feel, no matter what the consequence.
That's tough.
Yeah, obviously having discernment and like navigating it, you know, consciously, but just being like, no, this is the truth and it might hurt you and you might not like it. And when I was dating Martha, she asked me a bunch of like intimate questions, right, about the past. And I said, are you sure you want the truth? Because everyone that I've been with before could not handle me sharing the truth about whatever, previous relationships or stuff like that, right? And I go, are you sure? And she goes, yes. I go, I don't think you're going to be handled because no one has before. They always react or they get emotional, they cry. And then I would give in and be like, okay, well, what can I do? And so I just made a commitment to myself. I go, you know, I'm going to just speak the truth no matter what. And if she accepts it, great. If not, then we're not meant to be together early on. And she's always been able to accept it, you know? So it's
wow. Well, then you know she's the one.
Exactly.
The book's called The Greatness Mindset, Unlock the Power of Your Mind and Live Your Best Life Today. And it sounds like you're living your best life today. I really, really loved so much of this book. And I love the, there were three categories that you were talking about. You have to ask yourself if you're fulfilled in each category. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of tells you where you're at. You get a cumulative score.
Yes.
Can you go through that? Because I was going in through there and I'm like, wow, I'm kind of failing here. And that's when I realized this book was placed in my hands at the right time for the right reason.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of different courageous questions you can ask yourself. But I would like to do an assessment with you first.
Oh, shit.
And ask you, you've been sharing a lot of publicly about what's happened with surgery and the different stuff and the scans and all these different new information you have, right, about your body. And there's a lot that's happening in your life right now, physically, emotionally, you know. Business is growing, you have a baby on the way, all these different things are happening at once.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10 in the last year, if you could do a scale of self-love and inner peace, 10 being you have all the self-love for yourself, not in a narcissistic way, but you truly care and love yourself authentically. And you have inner peace. You're not emotionally stressed out for crazy reasons. Mm-hmm. And one being you hate yourself and have no peace. Where are you? Honestly.
Okay.
You could say on in general.
Okay.
And that's
explain good. Emotionally crazy things. Like what do you I mean? Mean
you're not like, you feel at a 10, you feel like nothing phases you. You feel inner peace all the time. Mm-hmm. You really take care of yourself. You really take care of yourself. You say kind things to yourself. You truly love and accept who you are. Mm-hmm. You're not perfect, but you accept who you are.
I think I'm pretty good in those areas because I've done so much work. You know, I mean, gosh, everything I learn on this show every day I'm applying, like the studious nerd that I am, whether it was Mel Robbins, high five, I'm high-fiving myself in the morning. I'm doing my grateful list at night and I'm doing a grateful list in the morning and I'm giving myself all the self-care I need. You know, if I need a massage, I'm getting a massage. If I need to, stop and meditate, I'll stop and meditate. I am taking really good care of myself. So I feel like that means that I love myself if I'm doing all those things.
And what about inner peace? Because people can do those things and take care, but
my inner peace has been a little rocked.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
It's been a little rocked. And I think it's I've outgrown certain relationships. I've outgrown experiences. I don't know if I'm coming or going. Am I staying in LA? Am I leaving LA? So there's a lot of uncertainty inside of where I'm supposed to be. And also kind of, I think because after brain surgery 6 years ago, I committed my life to this journey of getting better and doing it with everybody. Thank you, Heal Squad. I also have not really had a true clear direction.
Really?
I just am like—
Like a purpose, you mean? Or like a—
I know this is my purpose.
Yeah, but you don't know where you're going with it.
But I'm kind of just floating, right? Where I'm like, God, just take me where I'm supposed to go and show me the way. And that's kind of how I lived my whole career in life. I always just said, I'll be a good person. I'll work really hard. Just take me where I'm supposed to be. And I went into things I never thought I was going to go into. And I've had a really fun and exciting and cool life. There's been a lot of rough stuff too. But when I was reading this, I was like, ooh, I think it's really time. I think the thing that's gnawing at me now is that I don't have that, like, that's what I'm doing. And I'm 1,000,000,000% clear and I'm 1,000,000,000% directed because, you know, when you're floating, you're floating.
Right.
And well, so.
So where would you be then on a 1 to 10, inner peace and self-love combined on that scale?
Maybe a 6.
Okay.
If I'm honest, I think it's 6 or 7.
That's great. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And.
Like, I'm finding myself having to go back to the basics. Like, I just did a whole, I'm redoing Dr. Joe's The Formula.
Yep.
I did a whole, you know, class this morning getting ready. I've gotten rickety in there and I got to get back on track. And so, because I found such immense success and joy from Dr. Joe's meditations and really catching those thoughts and shifting my mindset and changing my personality and all of that. But there have been some things, obviously, that have rocked me. Sure. And it started last June when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I've had incredible friendships just poof.
Really?
You know, very intense, amazing friendships just gone. My God, what's going on?
Why are they gone? You've outgrown them or you guys have just gone in different directions or not aligned anymore?
Yeah, I think all of those things. Yeah. But I would never end them. So I think God just comes in and just ends them for me.
Right.
You know, I'm not somebody that I'm a very loyal person. So I have a really hard time with ending things. And so I stay in things way longer than they need to be stayed in, whether it's work or every personal.
Yeah.
Right. You can't, because then you feel bad that you're making someone else feel bad.
Yeah.
And then instead I know I'm strong, so I can overcompensate. So I'd be like, no, I can make them better. I can, you know, overcompensate and just deal with these flaws and whatever it is, I'll just, and it makes me sick. So, yeah.
Okay, so you had a 6 or a 7.
Yeah,
so I think it's honest. You've been through a lot too. And this is not a right or wrong, good or bad.
You asked me, in May last year, I was a 10.
Really?
I might have been an 11. Okay. I was flying. I was doing so great.
What was different then than now? Besides the physical.
Many health diagnoses.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, a lot. Well, I think what really happened is, if I think about it right now, I started those meditations like late January, and my whole life started shifting and changing, and I didn't want the same things anymore. So I couldn't do the mundane, you know. I was with my best friend. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't want to play cards. I just want to go meditate. And she was amazing. She was like, no problem. Just go. I'm like, I feel so good. Yeah. And then other people started shifting out of my life too, whether they were, you know, doing drugs or whatever. And I didn't know, but now it's very glaring. Right. And just a lot of things just have shifted since then.
Yeah. On page 201 of the book, you'll see there's a graph on page 201.
Yes, I have it marked. I loved it.
Yeah. And it's, This is not a greatness mindset. This is not a make wrong or good or bad or better than or less than. This is just an assessment that I like to think about to see where you're at, and then to ask, okay, where do I want to be and how do I want to feel? Just like Dr. Joe talks about, like creating the feeling of the desired future now. You may not have what you want right now, but how will it feel? And feel it, and you'll draw that future to you now.
Yeah, you delete that time and space.
Exactly. And one of the things, you'll feel more powerless. It doesn't mean you're not a good person or you're not, you know, going to have a great day, but you'll feel more powerless when you're not clear on your meaningful mission. It's one of those first things, I think, on the bottom of the powerless.
Yeah, lacks mindset. A meaningful mission.
And so again, you...
I have a meaningful mission though.
What is it in one sentence?
Is to help people with their health. That's the quickest thing. As many as I can.
Define it. What's as many as you can?
The whole world.
Okay.
I don't think anybody is sounding the alarms in health.
Yeah.
You know, we're taught from a young age to achieve and to succeed and to make a lot of money and to get good grades. Health, it's like friggin' crickets.
Yeah.
And then nobody knows. I think the general public doesn't really understand what the medical system that's available to us is really good at and what their capabilities are and what their training is. And so for me, every day, whether it's bringing on people or sharing my experiences, I'm like, listen, I'm the coach of the team. I'm not going to put my quarterback in defense. I'm not putting my defense in offense. I know who I have on my team for health and where I'm playing the players. Mm. I had a tumor on my pancreas. Guess what? I'm going to the hospital and they're going to remove it because they're amazing at surgery. They're amazing at diagnosing. Right. And they're great at prescribing. If I want to be healed, I'm calling my naturopath, right? Because she's going to investigate. She's going to get to the core and to the root of the problem. The regular medical system doesn't train people to get to the root of the cause. So I know what we need to be aware of so that we can make better decisions in our healthcare. And I know where the flaws in the systems are, and I'm continuously learning them. And that's why I know this is my mission, because I'm a communicator and I love to share all of this. And so I want to help people on their health journey. I love getting better in all areas of life. And so this is kind of what I'm committed to doing.
Yeah.
I also love a lot of things. Yeah. And so that's where it gets a little complicated, sure. Lewis, because I literally love doing everything.
I know.
So it's hard, you know, to battle all those things, because some of those things take your attention as well. And I have to fill my fun cup. This is like my mission cup. I got to fill my fun cup.
100%. I think so too. I'm all about fun and play. And Martha, she just wants to have fun all the time. So for me, I'm surrounded by fun. I just think it's like, it's important for us to know what clearly are we doing for this season of life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean to be what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, but this season, that could be 6 months, it could be 2 years. What is the meaningful mission that I have right now? You might be in a phase of like, I'm in a recovery phase and in a phase of being a mom and exploring what that's going to feel like and connecting and deepening my relationship with my child that's about to come here.
And who knows? I won't know till I'm there.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's no right or wrong of like, you have to have it all figured out right now. In sports, I do a lot of sports analogies. There's always an off season where you get to reflect. How did I do this last season? Did I perform well? Do I still love this game? Do I want to play next year? Or do I want to start something different? So it's not like you're right or wrong, good or bad. But I think when you are not clear what season you're in or where you're heading, you're going to feel more powerless. Mm-hmm. You're just going to feel like, well, what am I really doing? Yes, you can have a great life, but what am I really doing? What is my purpose? And so it's just to get clarity. And so you said it, like my intention is to heal the world, give them these tools. And I think the more defined you can get with that, it's going to give you more clarity. I'm like, okay, so I'm actually going to have these types of conversations with these people, and I'm going to do these things, but I'm not going to do these other things that don't support that mission.
Mm-hmm. I made a chart back in the day. Whenever I would get overwhelmed, I would make a chart and I'd put everything I'm doing in the left margin. I'd put what I wanted over here, and what I wanted was a talk show. And anything that didn't draw the line all the way over got cut.
Don't do it.
And it was so easy because I would be so overwhelmed. The kettle would be running hot. I'm like, all this stuff gets cut. I was acting. I'm like, that's gone. That's gone. That's gone. And so, I thought it was going to be a traditional talk show, funny enough. And then one day I landed in here and I was like, oh, I kind of have one already. I didn't even realize.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to stop right here because this conversation is going to go a little bit longer. And so we'll leave that right there. Come back for part two tomorrow, where Lewis talks about the difference between success and greatness. In the meantime, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.